This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on the program again today Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from the state of South Carolina. Senator Thurmond has been instrumental in obtaining the hearings into the alleged muzzling of the military, and it's been our pleasure to have reports from Senator Thurmond from time to time. Happy to have you back again today.
Well, Dick, I'm glad to be with you on this program.
Senator, what is the current status of the muzzling hearings?
Well, the hearings are still underway. Some people seem to have the impression that the first phase, the censorship phase, is completed, but that's all a mistake. The State Department came over and testified, and their witnesses could not answer any questions, and it seems they were trying to avoid answering questions, and so we asked them to go back and prepare themselves to answer these questions. And so they are going to come back later, at which time we can then cross-examine them. Of course, Dick, they wanted the opportunity to have us to submit to them the deletions and let them submit to us the answers as to why they deleted or censored. We don't think that's satisfactory. We think first the censors should have told us that from their own lips. But the president claimed the Executive Fifth Amendment, or claimed executive privilege, as he calls it, which is equivalent to the Executive Fifth Amendment, and therefore we couldn't get the censors over here. And in view of that, then the next best information would be to have someone to come who says he does know the answers. Now, we think this is merely an excuse to allow them time to concoct the answers and come back, but that's the best we can do under the circumstances.
The principal witness from the State Department whom you've had so far at these hearings has been George Ball, the Undersecretary of State. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. He's the Undersecretary of State, and although Mr. Ball took the responsibility for everything, he could not tell us the answers as to why any particular statement or paragraph was censored from a speech. I don't know why he came over and testified, because if he couldn't answer the questions, he should have sent somebody who could answer them.
I noticed that in a recent editorial in the Dallas Morning News, it stated that Mr. Ball confirmed your charge that censorship of speeches made by military leaders originated at the State Department.
That's true. Mr. Ball said that that the State Department censored the speeches, or that they formulated the policies that guided the Defense Department, as I recollect. And that's a position we've taken all the time. Mr. Ball and the other witnesses have said, the Defense Department witnesses too, that caprice was not used, and that the censors did not substitute their judgment for that of the speakers, but that they followed policy. That's exactly the position, Dick, we have taken, is that these speeches were censored according to policy. And we have taken the position that those policies are no-win policies. They're defeatist policies. And that the American people have a right to know what those policies are, and to criticize those policies, and to take steps to change those policies if they're not pleased with them.
Well, now, Senator Thurmond, did anyone in the State Department tell your committee, tell the investigating group, exactly why the State Department should become involved in going over speeches to be made by generals and admirals?
Well, they claim it's their duty to to go over and screen speeches pertaining to foreign policy. Now, I don't see where statements against communism pertain to foreign policy. Communism is a subject on which there should be no controversy. All true loyal Americans, all true patriots should be against communism, and we should all be allowed to speak out against the enemy. The military people are supposed to know more about the enemy than any other segment of our population, and they should certainly be allowed to tell their troops and tell the American people about the common enemy, which is communism. But the State Department must consider communism as a phase of foreign policy. And in that construction, of course, I do not agree.
I'd like to read a brief passage from this Dallas editorial once again, Senator, and get your comment on it. And the editorial reads, in a long statement which he read to the subcommittee, Undersecretary of State Ball defended the State Department's policy of censoring speeches. He said that speeches designed for American audiences may not serve our purposes if they are heard or read by other audiences which are also watching or listening. These other audiences, he said, were our allies, the neutrals, and the communists. Now, what's your observation as to that?
I think it's a lot of poppycock. It's my judgment that if members of Congress, members of the United States Senate, speak out against communism, and a great many of them do, why is that any more harmful than if a military man speaks out? After all, the military is subject to civilian control. And certainly the Russians know this. The communists know this. And they would give more heed to what some member of Congress said against the communism or some civilian official than, in my judgment, unless it were a military man, unless he were a very top military man. And even then, it seems to me that since the military is subject to civilian control, that the civilian voice would carry the greatest weight.
Well, this editorial reads, it says, Mr. Ball, it would seem, is extraordinarily naive if he fails to understand that the communists will distort whatever we say, no matter how it is said, whenever we say it.
I agree with that. The communists will distort anything we say. And furthermore, we cannot refrain from making statements against communism and teaching the troops and our people about the aims and designs of communism and the insidious nature in which communism operates simply to try to appease the communists, because they will distort anything we say. And furthermore, it will not affect their actions. They will not take steps to act until they're ready. You can spit in their faces. You can do anything. They have a plan. They're going to follow that plan. And this is merely another excuse on the part of the State Department.
Now, Senator Thurmond, since the president has successfully, it seems, invoked the doctrine of executive privilege so that the censors were prohibited from testifying about the policies which directed their actions, how are you going to show exactly what the policies are which you say are reflected in the items which were deleted from speeches?
Well, we'll show that in two ways, so to speak. First, by an analysis of the censored or deleted items, because there's a pattern there, Dick, of those items. For instance, anything about winning the Cold War seems to be stricken, or anything about international world communism seems to be stricken, or anything about the aim of the communists is to dominate the world seems to be stricken, or the word victory being used seems to be stricken. There are definite patterns there, to my judgment, that show why they were stricken. And I think they were following policy when they did that. Now, the next thing is we are going to have to show this policy. And therefore, we expect to show the directives that embrace this policy, which we claim is a no-win defeatist policy. And I think in that way we can present the facts to the American people.
Has your committee, the Special Preparedness Subcommittee, given the State Department a list of censored speeches to get their explanation of what was done to these speeches and why?
They have a copy of all of the speeches from which deletions were made. And we're anxious for them to come back now prepared to give us the answers. I don't know what reasons they're going to concoct. If they had any real, true, valid reasons, it seems they would have come over here prepared in the first instance. If they have any memorandums made at the time these speeches were censored, That would be the best evidence to bring along those memorandums. We shall just have to wait and see what evidence they do present, Dick.
I don't recall his exact words, but didn't Mr. Ball in his testimony make a comment to the effect that you couldn't, that it wasn't fair to call this a no-win policy because you can't deal in absolutes. You can't have either victory or defeat these days.
Well, Dick, that was about the essence, I believe, of his statement. But that's a defeatist attitude. For instance, one policy was that we should not win in Korea for fear it might allow the war to extend beyond Korea and engage the world in a war. Well, that's a false assumption. We should have won the war in Korea. If we had won the war in Korea, we wouldn't be having the trouble with Red China we are today. Red China has committed aggression in Vietnam and Laos and various other places, and all of this could have been avoided if we had won the war in Korea. General MacArthur said we could have won it. General Ridgway says we could have won it. General Van Fleet says we could have won it. General Almond, the Corps commander, and many other leaders over there says we could have won that war. We should have won that war. There was no danger of spreading that war. While we had the atomic weapon, and Red China didn't have the atomic weapon, doesn't have it yet. And Russia was not prepared to cope with us at all. She wouldn't have dared have entered that situation. We should have won that war, and we merely had a stalemate, an armistice. And the soldiers are there today on both sides of the 38th parallel, and they are ready to begin fighting any minute that the word is given. If we had won that war, and that's the first time, I think, in the history of America when we haven't gone out to win, and I think it was a turning point in the history of this nation, so to speak. And in my judgment, we made a great mistake. We can win the Cold War without a nuclear war. But we don't have to have a preventive war, and we don't have to have a nuclear holocaust. We can win if we will be firm, if we will be determined, and keep strong military power, because power is the only thing that the communists respect. And if we make up our minds to win, we can win. I was delighted a few days ago to hear the Attorney General, while speaking, I believe, in Pakistan on his trip overseas, say that we're going to win in Vietnam. Well, that's the first time I think I've heard a statement from an administration official since I've been in the Senate for many, many years, say that we're going to win. I'm delighted to hear that we're going to win the war in Vietnam. Certainly we ought to win. We can win, and we should.
Well, now, Senator Thurmond, have you received any indications that the American people are behind your objective of victory in the Cold War?
Dick, there's no question about it. We get thousands of letters backing up what we're doing. And the muzzling, the military that has gone on has been very detrimental to this nation. Our military leaders have attempted to tell the troops and tell the American people about the dangers of communism, the nature of communism, that the aim is to communize the world. These things should be allowed to be told to the troops and to the people. The people are with us.
Senator Thurmond, our time has gone by very quickly. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Dick.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.